Father, we are grateful to be able to be here, and we're grateful for thy word and for the fellowship that we can share. We do pray for those who are deprived of fellowship, who are more isolated than they want to be, that they need be, and we pray that you would comfort them. Watch over us as we read thy word and as we meditate upon it. Guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not quite sure if I shared this story, but as I was pondering the passage, which is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, talking about, know ye not that they which run a race run all, that idea of running a race. And I remember back when I was maybe in ninth grade, maybe I was 14 or so, maybe 13. I was in gym. We were out sitting on the field. You're kind of in a grid pattern. They're taking roll. And I don't know. We're sitting there where I guess I was on the grass. And there was a rock. I don't know, about the size of a penny. And I don't know what got it. I just kind of threw it up in the air, you know. And you know, I don't know what gets into the mind of a 14-year-old, but as it's kind of arcing over, you know, the mind kind of calculates the trajectory. And so in that second or so as it goes up, you're thinking, oh, where's that going to land? And you kind of figure it's going to land somewhere where you don't want it to land. And sure enough, it hits somebody square in the head, right in the middle, right? And I don't know, it was like four or five rows over. But somehow, he knew that it was me. And he was part of, I was not the popular kid, right? I was in the geek group, and, you know, this was the more popular group. And so, we're all sitting there, you know, it's not like you can get up and run after me, because we're all sitting there. But it was going to be time to run a lap around the field. And I was never first. Maybe I wasn't last, but I wasn't first. I probably wasn't even middle, somewhere toward the end. I had no motivation. But now I had some motivation. Because somehow, between the time we were sitting there and the time it was time to run, there was five or six of him and his friends. And it was all unsaid. You know, there was you just knew that something was going to happen, right? So I ran. And I remember, I might have been first, if not second. I think I was first. All the way. And I'm going around this field. I'm thinking, I am so tired, but I was motivated. And so I went from a last place person, per se, to a first place person because of motivation. And if you would read with me here in 1 Corinthians, I am going to go back and pick up a few verses that we had read the other week. Because this is important to understand this in context. So, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might be by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. This is his motivation. I do this for the gospel's sake that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'd like to stop there. So as we read this passage, we need to understand, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So we need to talk about the prize, what this prize is. And if you'd turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So in Philippians, Paul is writing and he says, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. So he's defining the prize as the high calling. The calling is the prize. On the theme of running, the Boston Marathon. I remember talking to my brother-in-law about the Boston Marathon. And you just can't go run the Boston Marathon. You have to qualify. You have to be able to beat, if in my age group, it would be a 3 hour and 30 minute marathon, 24 miles, right? That's a little less than 8 miles an hour. Maybe I can do that on a bicycle. There's no way I can do that running, right? But you can't even get in unless you make those qualifications, unless you've run other marathons and you've gone that fast. You have to qualify. Back in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, they thought, runners thought, it was impossible for a human to run a 4 minute mile. Oh, they had done, 4 minutes and 2 seconds. They had done 4 minutes and 1 second, but there was a wall there. And for years and years and years, and some stated, oh, for thousands of years, nobody's run faster than a 4 minute mile. Then on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister did 3 minutes and 59 seconds. He broke that 4 minute mile. And, as amazing as that is, what's more amazing is that within the next 3 years, 10 more people broke a 4 minute mile. All of a sudden, their minds were open. It's like, this isn't a barrier. We can do this. And so Paul here, once again, let's go back to those verses. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak, that I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and I do this for the gospel's sake. And then he goes off into this illustration. This is achievable. This is not something that's just a dream. He wants the Corinthians to know that even though that they've been self-centered, even though that they've been living lascivious lives and that they've been misled and misdirected and that they're living lives that aren't pleasing to God, that no, you can crucify, you can put those other things off, and that you can do this. And he's saying that, here's the illustration. When you run a race, there's a prize, and you need to run in a way that you're going to win. He says there's just one prize, right? Now, in the gospel, getting to heaven, that high calling, there's a lot of people that make it into the Boston Marathon. And for many, that is the prize, the calling, to be able to say, I was able to run in the Boston Marathon. That's a big deal, right? I was able to finish the Boston Marathon. Yeah, there's only 1 minute, but that honor to just be called and just participate, right? And here, they're doing it to receive a temporary, a corruptible crown, some leaves that are going to wither and die. And we are doing it for an everlasting crown. So we need to run to win. We need to run to win. In our Christian life, we need to be qualifying for that gospel, right? For qualifying, we need to run this race of life to win. And it goes on to say, it talks about temperance. For every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Running with self-control. So talking about my brother-in-law, I remember one cold, I think it was like 23 degrees. We were at grandma's house, right? And all of a sudden, it's snowing. It's just beautiful. It's one of those perfect winter mornings, right? You wake up, and the ground has, 3-4 inches of snow on it, and the snow's coming down, and this is, for Californians, this is amazing, right? We don't think about shoveling. We don't think about driving. We just think, this is so neat. And we're watching it come down, and all of a sudden, there's this knock at the door, and I'm close by. I open up the door, and in comes Lori's brother, and he's running. He just ran from his house to the mom's house, and I don't know how far that is, 5, 7, 8 miles, something like that, maybe 10. It's 23 degrees outside. He's in shorts and tennis shoes, or not tennis shoes, running shoes, right? Shorts and running shoes. And he has a long sleeve, and there's snow on his hair, and his eyebrows are all frosted over. It's not easy to get out and run. Run with self-control. Ron Hill, this is another marathon runner. He's run a couple marathons. He ran every day for 52 years and 39 days. 52 years and 39 days. Every day. In 1993, he was involved in a car crash, broke his sternum. He ran that day. Right? A little bit later on, he had bunion surgery. He had part of his bone carved off his toe. He went out and he did a 27-minute mile so as not to lose his record, right? He had self-control. He put his body to the test each and every day. He was going to do it no matter what. But these tests that we have are not all physical. You know, when you're using the running analogies, you'd say, oh, it's just so hard. And I know it's hard. I'm not a runner. And I know that, when I was running back when I was a kid, and even now when I run, there takes some fortitude to get through that and to go out and do that. And in the Christian life, this is the same way. It takes some fortitude to love. It takes some fortitude to think about others more than yourselves. It takes some fortitude to forego that which you might think is okay for you, but really for others, it's not a good witness, it's not a good thing. But for the gospel's sake, I'm going to forego it, as Paul has been talking about chapter after chapter in Corinthians. It's not about me, it's about we, right? It's not about me, it's about we. And this is Paul's message. It's not always physical. In the Paris Olympics, 1924, Eric Liddell, he was the son of a missionary couple, and he found out that his strong race, the 100-meter race, that's what he was good in, that's what he excelled in, that it was going to be held on a Sunday. And for him, that was the Sabbath. He was not going to participate in that race. And he took all sorts of flack for that, but his coach agreed, his coach understood him, his coach agreed with him. And so in those few months that he had learned that it was going to be on Sunday, that 100-meter race, the 400-meter race, that wasn't his race. That was a much longer race. So 100 meters is roughly from maybe the street to the back of the property. Maybe that's 330-some-odd feet, right? Now he has to do that four times. That's a little different. But he practiced for that, and it wasn't a strong point. He wasn't by any means, in the times that he was putting in, a world-class 400-meter runner, but he was going to run that race. That's when, because it wouldn't break the Sabbath for him. So it wasn't an endurance thing. It was more of a, I am going to self-discipline myself that even though my race is on a Sunday, I am not going to forego and break the Sabbath. That's not as important to me as God is important to me. In the 400-meter race, it just so happens, as he was getting ready for that race in the morning, one of the team members slipped him a note. He read that note later on in the morning, and that note said, I wrote it down. In the old book it says, he that honors me will I honor. And Eric recognized that this was from 1 Samuel 2:30, where God will honor those who honor him. He recognized that, and he thought, there is another person in this world other than my coach and myself that believe in what I'm doing. And so as they set up for the race, this 400-meter race, and if you've seen these before, there's a track, there's an inside lane, there's an outside lane. Of course, the outside takes a longer path around because of the curve, okay? And so they start in a staggered way, and so the person in the outside lane, it looks like they're getting a head start, but really, that's just putting them all equal, so they run the same distance. And back then in 1924, it was typical in the race that the runners all start in the 400 meter, that they would all start out going fast. And then after the first corner, kind of slow up a little bit, because it's a long race. It's a long race. And then as they came around that last curve, they go all out, and who's going to win, right? But he had drawn the outside lane. He was on the outside lane. So when he started, everybody was behind him. And he knew that there was competition. He knew that the Americans were favored. He was British. And so he just went all out. And for 200 meters, he just ran. And then he realizes that 200 meters, that, okay, I got some distance, but I'm tired. But I've committed now. There ain't no slowing up. I got to go. And so he went. And corner after corner, as they came around, they were trying to catch up because each corner, he was running that long outside lane, right? But at the end, he wins. He breaks the world record. He breaks the Olympic record. So you have to run with self-control. His self-control was, yes, he was preparing for the race. Yes, he was going all out. But really it was, I'm not going to break the Sabbath. I'm not going to go and do that which God doesn't. I'm not going to do my will on the Sabbath, right? So we have to run to win. We have to run with self-control. We have to run with purpose. Purpose. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, you know, there was the World War II had ended. There was the Cold War. Russia was patrolling the Pacific up and down our shores with ballistic missile submarines. And so the USA had a strong motivation. Talk about being motivated, right? The USA had a strong motivation to know about these submarines. You can't see them, but well, how can you figure it out? And they can hear them. And so they had hydrophones placed throughout the sea. You know, the joke was that for the Russian submarines of that time, you know, how far could you hear it away? You know, can you hear it a mile away, 2 miles away, 100 miles away? And the joke was, well, for that particular class of submarine, unless a continent got in the way, you can hear it. Okay, it was a noisy submarine, right? So they can listen thousands of miles away. And so they were listening, and they were always listening, and they would be able to triangulate to hear and track all the subs as they, you know, not just the Russian subs, but their subs too, even though USAs were quieter. At least that was the goal, to be able to track what was going on underwater. So on March 8th, 1968, a diesel-electric sub, Russian, heading around over top of Hawaii underwater, they lost contact. Nobody still knows what happened to this day, but they lost contact. And the Russians sent out, you know, please break radio silence. We need to contact you. Nothing, nothing, nothing for a day or 2 days. Finally, they send a flotilla out of all. They're doing a search and rescue party. They're not telling anybody, but the U.S. sees the search and rescue. They kind of get a clue. And so they go back because they were listening. The Russians were 200 miles away. They were doing their search and rescue 200 hours there. But because the U.S. was prepared, because they had a plan, because they had a purpose, they were listening. And they knew down to within 5 miles where they heard the implosion as that sub K-29 passed through the crush depth and just imploded or exploded. They knew where it was. Years later, they went to pick it up. It's another story. But the U.S. had a purpose to know what was going on. What is our purpose? In our life, you know, we're not just running this race. It's not just to win a race, be first. It's not just to preserve your health and happiness, eat, drink, and be merry. It's not to play video games. It's not to play relationship games. It's not to play American Dream games, although all of these things are going on in our lives. Are we focusing on we and not on me? Are we focusing on the greater good, on the body of Christ, on by the love we show, they will know we are his disciples. And the goal is that they become we, that we all are one in Christ. Are we paying attention to our surroundings? Are we listening? Are we taking account of what's going on? And however we do it, however God leads, you know, there is no plan in that way. There's no one specific formula, if you would, to win souls to Christ. But by the love we show, they will know we are his disciples. Are we living out that purpose in our life? So we need to run to win, run with self-control, run with purpose. And we need to run without disqualification. It says at the end of the chapter, lest I myself would be a castaway. A castaway, what does that mean, castaway? Discarded, thrown away. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. But when you think of that word in the Greek, adokimos. So adokimos, without the A, means approved or good. There's an illustration of a fine pottery, right? And as it goes through the factory and it goes through, there are the people who check, the quality control people. And when everything looks right, they put the stamp on the bottom that says, this is good, right? That's dokimos, this is good. Adokimos is, it's not good. It's rejected. It's rejected. Boston Marathon, 2015, rejected. A man qualifies. He had a 2:59 qualifying race at some other marathon. He gets into the Boston Marathon. He drags in at 4:53. Now, there's a two-hour difference. You know, you have to be able to do, you know, so, at least under 3:30. He did a 2:59, and now he's coming in at a 4:53. He's last. He's dead last, right? What's going on? Oh, maybe he didn't really do that 2:59, right? They go back and they check the pictures, and he's slow. He's disqualified because they went back and checked the other marathon that he got that 2:59. He's not in all the pictures. You know, he didn't hit every spot. They checked some other marathons, and it's like, oh, he was here, and then all of a sudden he runs 17 kilometers in a half hour. Something's going on. He's disqualified. Paul says, I don't want to be disqualified, but I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection. Subjection is, I bring it, it's my slave, right? I'm not the slave of my body. This is a lot of times what, oh, you know, the flesh draws us. No, the flesh needs to be under subjection to the Spirit. Lest I should be a castaway, right? David, 1 Samuel 2:14, as David is in the king's palace, as most kings are going out to war, David's staying at the palace. He's maybe privileged. He has a different mindset, and he falls to temptation. And not only does he sleep with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, but he kills Uriah. And as Nathan comes and explains it to him in a way that he can understand, Nathan says to him, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Right? It's not just about me. It's about we. It's about what? How am I living in my life that is either bringing God up or making him look bad, right? Am I living in a way that people would say, yeah, I want to be like him because he's like God. It was said that Gandhi said, although it's debated, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Are we giving occasion by the lives that we live, by how we live our life? Are we showing love to those around us everywhere we go so that, yeah, that person is different? Eric Liddell, as he won the race, he went back to China. He kind of grew up, you know, the first years of his life in China. He went back to China, and he lived in a poor, poor village, and he was serving. And he died there. And well, actually, he ends up in a camp because the World War was going on, right? And so, but yeah, as he dies in the camp for various reasons, he had a brain tumor, also malnutrition, other things were going on. It just, the whole camp was like, they couldn't believe, because he was such, his life was so different than anybody else's, right? He touched souls wherever he went, in whatever he did. So as Paul here is talking to Corinthians, we need to run to win. We need to have that zeal that every day is important, that every soul is important, and that winning means loving and giving. We need to run with self-control, not just physical self-control. I'm just going to wake up, I'm going to go to church today, even though I have to get up at 8 o'clock. You know, this is a hard thing. I'm going to go there because that's where the fellowship is. That's where the believers are. That's where we can encourage and uplift one another. But it's also the, I'm going to deny myself those things which are going to draw people away and not point to Christ. Run with self-control. Run with purpose. Right? The U.S., they had a purpose. They had to have those hydrophones out there because there was a purpose to keep the country safe. They wanted to know what was going on. In our lives, our hydrophones. Oh, yeah, we like that one. Hydrophone, we're going to listen. We're going to hear. We're going to know what's going on. Now, some people will take that to gossip, right? We're going to know what's going on. I want to be on that team. I want to be on the listening team so I can know all the news and know everything about it. But are we using that to God's good purpose? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we thinking? Are we helping? Are we encouraging as we know and as we're giving this information, as God grants it? Are we doing that good with what we know and learn? And then in our lives, run with that disqualification. So many times now, bringing it into our day and age, we just see in the news, preacher after preacher, evangelist after evangelist, they just are taken down by sin. And it just gives occasion to the rest of the world to blaspheme, to say, ah, you know, you can, if that's what you say is being a Christian, I want none of it, right? We don't want to be there. And it's a possibility. Too many people are either too entitled or too, they're not denying themselves that which they should be denying themselves. Those external relationships that they should be having, right? That seems to be a bulk of it. But there are probably other things too. We need to be running with the focus, staying in the lane, right? Eric Liddell, as he came around, he stayed in that outside lane. He didn't step out of that outside lane, or else he would have been disqualified. But he stayed in his lane anyway. We don't need to stay in our lane. We need to stay in his lane, capital H. We're talking this morning in Bible class how the Israelites, they came together, not because they were Israelites back then, but because they were answering God's call. They were doing his will. They were following his book. We need to live in a way that when we get to the end of it all, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. May the Lord bless his word.